Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Hagesa. Today we're going to start some teachings on the Diamond Sutra. The Diamond Sutra is one of the most famous and well-known by name sutras in the Buddhist canon. Everybody knows the name Diamond Sutra. It's one of the oldest books ever printed. It's one of the most influential teachings in Asia. It has actually shaped Asian consciousness. And also, it's in the West very, very, very popular. The Diamond Sutra is very, very, very short, but this sutra contains all of the teachings of every religion, all of the teachings of every philosophical tradition. So we're going to look at it. But this is not an intellectual series of talks. I'm not an academic. I don't have any sort of training in Buddhist sutras. I'm just a Zen monk. I'm just a meditation monk. So this is not going to be academically correct. In fact, I'll probably make many mistakes. That's actually one of the teachings of the Diamond Sutra, the emptiness of all things. So as we look at this, don't expect an academic or intellectual lecture. It's not that. It's using the Diamond Sutra to point at our practice. So I'm offering this up to your meditation practice, not to your habit of conceptual thinking. I hope all of you receive it in that light. So let's open up and look at the Diamond Sutra and see what it has to say to us. First of all, I do want to say about the Diamond Sutra that it is, although part of the Mahayana tradition, it is believed that the Buddha may have spoken this around the age of, between the age of 55 and 75 years old. The Buddha died when he was years old, so it's about near the end of his life this sutra was given. As we've talked about with some of the other teachings, the Diamond Sutra is part of the Mahayana tradition, but its basic point, its basic teaching, is the teaching of emptiness. 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 But not emptiness in the sense that we understand emptiness as a kind of an absence or a lack or a negative quality. Actually, he's talking about the fundamental emptiness of all substance, the emptiness of ego identity, the emptiness of will, the emptiness of any kind of I. Therefore, also the emptiness of charity. So we'll find, as we're doing this, that actually everything he talks about in this can be found in any of the other Buddhist traditions and Christian traditions as well. However, it's done very, very, very concisely. So you can read this. You can read this Diamond Sutra in 30 minutes. If you drink some coffee, maybe you can do it in 20, 25 minutes. But it's... smallness is not an indication of any lack of depth. Actually, it's perhaps the deepest teaching you'll ever read. It only points at this emptiness so that free from ego, free from this false I, free from delusion, free from suffering, because it's all empty, we can function to help suffering beings. Okay? So, basic teaching of emptiness. It's a very amazing teaching. So, although it's a very small sutra, it's very, very, very deep, and I'll do my best to convey its meaning to you to help your practice. So, we open up. We look at the first chapter of the Diamond Sutra. It says, "Thus have I heard, upon a time Buddha sojourned in Anapandika's park by Shravasti with a great company of bhikshus, even 1,250. One day, at the time for breaking fast, the world-honored one, enrobed and carrying his bowl, made his way into the great city of Shravasti to beg for his food. In the midst of the city, he begged from door to door according to rule. This done, he returned to his retreat and took his meal. When he had finished, he put away his robe and begging bowl, washed his feet, arranged his seat, and sat down." Very interesting, this first chapter. Looks like, you know, we're ready to read the Diamond Sutra. We're ready for the Buddha to speak. I used to just pass over this. I've read the Diamond Sutra just a few times, but every time I read it, I just passed right through this.
Well, he does this. Okay, the Buddha got up, then he went, then he got his food. Okay, we know that. He begged his food. Then he went from door to door. Okay, then he ate his food. Well, of course, he got the food. He's going to eat it. Then he got the food. He put his book. Okay, what does he say on the next page? Actually, this first chapter of the Diamond Sutra is the whole Diamond Sutra. The whole meaning of the Diamond Sutra is this first chapter. This is the whole teaching. It's the whole teaching. It seems stupid. It seems like it doesn't mean anything. But it's just showing us, the Buddha is showing this mindful action. Mindful action. That's all. This very mindful action. Not special. We think Buddhism is something special. We think meditation practice is something special. We think religious experience is something special. That's why Jesus had to do miracles to wake people up, because people want something special. Something special happened. Therefore, but the Buddha was not like that. Also, Jesus was not like that. You know, Jesus does these special things, doing these miracles, and then he says, this is not my real job, this special stuff, this magic stuff. That's not my real teaching. But you have little faith, so I have to do this. Same thing with this. It doesn't look special, but this whole first chapter, only this is the Diamond Sutra. Only this. So you thought the Diamond Sutra was small, only this thick. Actually, it's thinner than that. The Diamond Sutra is shorter than that. It's just this first chapter. You can memorize it in 5 minutes. Why? Why is this the Diamond Sutra? All of you think there must be some mystery. Why he says this is the Diamond Sutra. There must be some secret teaching that he's going to reveal. Actually, there's no secret teaching. This is the Diamond Sutra, this first chapter. Everything we do after today is almost a waste of time. Because in this, what does the Buddha teach? Let's look at it. Thus have I heard. Upon a time, Buddha sojourned in Anapandika's park by Shravasti with a great company of bhikshus, even 1,250. Okay, so it starts off, thus have I heard. This sutra is a recollection of the action of the Buddha. Ananda heard this teaching. They repeated the teachings. He heard this story, repeated it in the council after the Buddha's death. Upon a time, Buddha sojourned in Anapandika's park by Shravasti with a great company of bhikshus, even 1,250. So, Buddhism did not happen in the mountains. Here we have this ipsan in Korea to become a monk. Ipsan. Enter the mountain. When you become a monk, you ipsan hada. Actually, in Buddhism, that was not original Buddhism. It was not in the mountain, away from society. Actually, Buddhism happened, that was the biggest city in India, Shravasti. 900,000 people. Huge city. And the Buddha lived in a park right next to it. So first point, there's no Sanjung Bulgo. That's later, that's from China. Lived in the city, maybe like, Seoul Daegongwon or Rini Daegongwon or something. Some big, or Central Park or something. He lived in a big city, near a big city. So he's with a great company of bhikshus, even 1,250. Now, here's the point. One day, at the time for breaking fast, the world-honored one, this great Buddha, this enlightened one, with thousands of students, the world-honored one put on his robe, his begging robe, carrying his bowl. Very interesting. Watch what this is saying. This is the whole Diamond Sutra. Don't blink. If you blink, you'll miss it. Because it's so short. Took his robe, took his bowl, and walked into the city of Shravasti to beg for his food. The Buddha did that.
Imagine maybe President Bush or President Nomuhyun Daetongyeong putting on his sports shirt, taking his bowl, and going into the city to ask for food. It would be in the newspapers the next day. Now here is Buddhism. People will forget about our politicians and presidents in a few years maybe, but this is really significant. This is the founder of a religion. At the time of breaking the fast, not when he wanted to, well, I feel like it. I don't know. Maybe I'll eat. Maybe I'll not eat. At the time of eating, he put on his robe, he picked up his bowl, he walked into the city. You know, they didn't carry him on one of these, you know, things or in his ekus. He walked into this great city of Shravasti to beg for his food. In the middle of the city, in the midst of the city, he begged from door to door. He begged himself. From door to door, according to rule. So, in the Buddhist rule, the Buddha said, our practice is begging for food. So, if you go to one house, you must go to 6 more houses in a row. Why? Nowadays we have rich people living here, poor people living here, separate in our societies. You know, some area is 부자 동네, other areas 잘 못 사는 동네, separate. But that time in India, it's all mixed up. Rich people, poor people living together. So he didn't want his monks to choose, this house has very good food. Their curry is number one. Their mosala paneer, or their sag paneer. Spinach and cheese. Their sag paneer is number one. But these people, they don't have so much food. So to cut this mind, this choosing mind, this like and dislike mind, to cut that, he said, if you go to this house, you must go to the next 6 houses in a row. Whatever they give you, you accept. Very interesting rule. So the Buddha made that rule for his monks and nuns, and he kept it himself. That's amazing. He was not above his own rule. One day at the time for breaking fast, so he went in at lunch. In the Buddhist tradition, we say that spirits eat in the morning. No, gods eat in the morning. Buddhas eat at lunch. Animals eat in the afternoon, and sort of, how could we say it, heavenly beings eat at night, spirits. So the Buddha was teaching, at this time, the Buddha only ate at lunch. He only ate lunch. That's all. Until lunch, he was very hungry. So he kept that rule. One day at the time for breaking fast, the world honored one, and robed and carrying his bowl, this begging bowl, he went into the city. Every single day, the Buddha lived just like this. It's very interesting. In the midst of the city, he begged from door to door according to the rule. Very interesting. The Buddha, this is correct mindfulness. The Buddha did not put himself above even his own rule. Well, I made this rule. You guys follow it, but I'm done. I'm a Buddha. I don't need this rule. You need the rule. I don't. The Buddha never showed that. He showed, this rule is for you, this rule is for me. That's very amazing. In the midst of the city, he begged from door to door according to rule. So when a president or one of our high-level government officials goes, all the traffic laws stop. No one can drive their car. Policemen stop there and block the road. So the rules that we keep and the rules that our leaders have to keep is different. Very interesting, the Buddha, this great leader, and people wanted to attack him. Some people didn't like the Buddha. Some people wanted to kill him. But every day he kept according to the rule. This done, when he was finished begging, he returned to his retreat and took his meal. Quietly. He returned to his retreat and took his meal. When he had finished, he put away his robe and begging bowl, washed his feet, arranged his seat,
and sat down. So, what is this showing us? Why do we say this is the whole Diamond Sutra right here? It's the whole Diamond Sutra. Why? Because he shows mindfulness. Mindful action. Keeping the rule. Following the situation. It's very clear. So everyone thinks that religion is some special experience. Everyone thinks it's some mysterious state or condition. It's not. The great teachers have always pointed out that religious experience is just like this mind, just like this mind, moment to moment to moment to moment to moment to moment, following your condition and situation, that's all. So there's a very famous koan about this in China. A monk entered the monastery, you know, very with this great balshim, this great beginner's mind. A monk entered the monastery and said to the master at that time, Zen master Joju Sanza. He went up to him and he said, "Teacher, I have just entered the monastery. Please, I would like to have your mysterious teaching. What is your difficult, your very deep teaching? I've just entered. I'm ready for it. Give it to me. I'm all ready. I've studied. I've prepared. I've done everything. What is your mysterious teaching?" And Joju said, "Did you eat breakfast?" And the monk said, yes. I don't know what this has to do with things, but yes, I did eat, by the way. And he said, Jesus said, "Then go wash your bowls." And when he got enlightenment. So the teaching of that koan is just this everyday life mind. When you eat, you wash your bowls. After you eat, you brush your teeth. When you wake up, you stretch and shower. That's all. It's very simple. It's this everyday mind. But we don't think that. Our mind is always somewhere else. Tomorrow, oh, I have to do this. I have to meet this. Then I have to get. Oh, then I have. Oh, I, then I have to meet this person. Well, I, well, that means I've got to get this, and then I have to get this. So stress. So this computer is always broken down. Nowadays, we have more of that. I say this to a lot of people nowadays. Nowadays, people who come to the temple for teaching, before, people asked about teaching. Some teaching. What is the way? What is mind? How can I practice? What is meditation? When I first came to 14 years ago, very clear. People came to the temple, they asked about suheng. They asked about mind. They asked about truth. They asked about religion. They asked about practice. Nowadays, time passing, not so much anymore. People come in, "Oh, my situation is difficult. My home life is complicated. My marriage is having a problem. My relationship, it's all this complicated talking." Not good, not bad. Not good, not bad. But people's minds now are more complicated. So, this first page of the Diamond Sutra is pointing us back to a very simple thing. It's so simple, it's stupid. It's very, very stupid. It's like, you know, they have in the Gospel when Jesus says, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, just become like a child again. That's all. The child eats, delicious. When tired, sleeps. You never meet a child with sleeping problems. Did you ever meet a child with sleeping problems? Or eating problems? Almost never. Tired is hungry? A child is hungry? Wah! Then give the food? Shut up. No. Tired is, a child is tired? Go to sleep. Even in a car. Even in a noisy place. Did you ever see that? A child can sleep even in the middle of a music concert or something, or a movie. Very simple. That's why we say, when you're hungry, eat. When you're tired, sleep. Everyone thinks this is very stupid teaching. But who in this room can really do that? We lie about, "Oh, I can't sleep. I don't. Tommy, do I'm my own? What is this? oh, tomorrow I have to, oh, yeah, tomorrow I have to do this, then wake up, then maybe read a book, maybe watch TV. You know, in temple, it's very simple. Temple, you have to wake up at 3 o'clock. So go to sleep or not go to sleep. Very simple. But nowadays, people very, very complicated. Oh, I can't sleep. Maybe I'll call my friend. Maybe I'll play on the computer a little bit, play a little game. So we have this teaching. What is the true way? When you're hungry, eat. When you're tired, sleep. It's very, very, very simple. That's why Jesus said, very simple. This heavenly life is very simple. Just become like a child. That's all. So in this first chapter of the Diamond Sutra, the Buddha is teaching us that. This moment-to-moment mind. Moment-to-moment mind. So the subject, one day, at a time for breaking the fast, you know, in the temple we have, that's why we have this moktak. That's at the meal time in the morning at 5:30, in the afternoon at 11:30, in the early morning at 11:30, and then in the evening at 5. Soon you'll hear it at 5 o'clock. That means when you hear that sound, you go to the kitchen and eat. Very simple. It's very simple to hear that, but very difficult to do. Even nowadays, as a monk, we must be very busy. And I know that experience. Sometimes you're working on the computer or having a meeting, and you hear this sound, but I'll go in 10 minutes. 10 minutes more work I'll do. If I don't finish this work, maybe I will not be able to work again for another couple of days. Very busy. So it's very easy to understand that, this first thing, what the Buddha did. We pass right over it, but very hard to do in our everyday life. Try to keep that. Make a schedule for yourself. I'll eat at whatever, 7 o'clock in the morning, I'll eat at 12 o'clock noon, and I'll eat at 5 o'clock at night. If you can do that 1 week, I will bow to you. So it's very interesting. We understand this. It's important, not important, doesn't matter. But it shows our mind, it's only our mind that makes our life complicated. Actually, this world, we say this world is very common. World is very simple. It's not complicated. Our thinking becomes complicated. So this whole world experience is complicated. But only thinking. Every child can do that. So the Buddha does this thing. In the first chapter of the Diamond Sutra, he shows us complete life, moment-to-moment life, mindful, geoyinen maom, moment-to-moment. Moment-to-moment mind. It's very simple, very clear. Nama-inen iri hanada opsayo. One day, at the time for breaking fast, the world-honored one. The world-honored one. Even though he's enlightened, even though he's free, even though he's completely overcome ignorance, still, he keeps this mind. Very simple. So by doing this very simple thing every day, he keeps his mind very simple. It's very, oh, here the time for eating? Eat. Finish eating? Wash the bowl. Take the bowl, put it away. Take off robe, boom, 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 put away. Then wash the feet before sitting down. That time in India, the monks and nuns don't wear shoes. No shoes. No gomushin. No shoes. So feet become very dirty, very dusty in India. So before, you know, when I sit down, you know, your feet touch your clothing. When you sit down, your feet touches your clothing. If you don't wash your feet in India at that time, your clothing's always very dirty. Clothing very dirty, you must wash more. You must wash more. You must have other clothing more. So, very simple thing makes your life complicated or simple. So, after eating, begging, comes back, eats, finishes, takes off his robe, puts it away, washes his bowl, puts his bowl away, washes his feet. He returned to his retreat and took his meal. When he had finished, he put away his robe and begging bowl, washed his feet, arranged his seat, and sat down. Kuchida. All finished. So it's very simple. Hanashik, 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 hanashik. Geoinen maomuro. Very simple. But the Buddha is giving us big teaching here. There's no thinking. There's no thinking here. It's very simple and clear. Just do that. then your life already becomes very simple. So that's why in the temple there's all these symbols for lunch. Of course, all the monks know. I know the meal is at 11:30 in the afternoon. I know that dinner is at 5 o'clock. You go to any temple in Korea, breakfast is at 5:30, some temples 6 o'clock, but usually 5:30. Go to any temple in Korea, the lunch is at 11:30. Go to any temple in Korea, the dinner is at 5. It's always the same. But we have this signal. Why? Because sometimes we forget that. We have thinking. So the signal, come back to this moment. Come back to this moment. Come back to this moment. What are you doing right now? Just do it. That's this first point. So the Buddha already shows that. The great thing about the Diamond Sutra is it starts out with action. The teaching of the Diamond Sutra, this is a Zen sutra. This is not intellectual. Because the Buddha teaches without speech. There's no speech here. It's only his action. His everyday life. That's the Diamond Sutra. That's the Diamond Sutra. Okay? So, does anybody have any questions about that? Any kinds of questions? No questions? Great. Chapter 2. Sabuti. Sabuti makes a request. Now, as this first chapter ends, the Buddha is sitting there. The Buddha did not give talks every day. The Buddha wasn't talking every day. He did not always open his mouth. Many times he just sat in meditation. Many times he did this every day. Meditation, then put his robe on, like this. Pick up his bowl, take it in his arm, go to the city, begging just with everybody. Very interesting, really, to think about that. Begging with everybody, taking the food with everybody, the same food with everybody. Then he went back, he ate it with everybody, keeping silence with everybody while he ate it. Then he went back to his place, washed his bowl, he went back, took off his robe, put it up, put the bowl up, washed his feet, arranged his seat. You know, here we have cushions, nowadays very easy. You grab a cushion, you put it on the floor. That time they didn't have this bangsok. They didn't have these cushions, it was just grass. So he get some grass together sometimes, maybe some grass, and put it together, put a cloth over it, you know, little like that, adjust down, then sit. Then the Buddha is just sitting. He didn't sit down and start talking. He just sat down. And he kept this mindfulness. So it's very interesting. The Buddha didn't always do some action. He just sat there. Now we look at chapter 2. Sabuti makes a request. Now, in the midst of the assembly was the venerable Sabuti. Forthwith he arose, uncovered his right shoulder, knelt upon his right knee, and respectfully raising his hands with palms joined, addressing the Buddha thus, "World-honored one, it is most precious how mindful the Tathagata is of all the bodhisattvas, protecting and instructing them so well. World-honored one, if good men and good women seek the consummation of incomparable enlightenment, by what criteria should they abide, and how should they control their thoughts?" Buddha said, "Very good, Sabuti. Just as you say, the Tathagata is ever mindful of all the bodhisattvas, protecting and instructing them well. Now listen and take my words to heart. I will declare to you by what criteria good men and good women seeking the consummation of incomparable enlightenment should abide, and how they should control their thoughts." Said Sabuti, "Pray, do, world-honored one. With joyful anticipation we long to hear." So, very interesting. This is the second chapter of the Diamond Sutra. It's not difficult. Why does everybody think the Diamond Sutra is difficult? It's not difficult. It's very clear. But it's not difficult. The Diamond Sutra, I often say, it's like glass. It's like a piece of glass. It's a piece of glass. It's very clear. But it's substance. It has substance, but you can see through it. So it's a thing. It's there, but it's not there. So for people, this part that's not there is confusing to people. Second chapter is very clear, just like the first. Now in the midst of the assembly was the venerable Subhuti. Subhuti was one of the greatest of the Buddha's 10 great disciples. And the Subhuti was known for a great insight into emptiness. The name Subhuti means born from emptiness. So this Subhuti is very interesting. He's already a great practitioner. He's already a great meditator, Subhuti. He's not stupid. He's very wise. But what happens here is the Subhuti saw something. This is totally connected to the first chapter. He saw the Buddha and said, I want to live like that. That's why this question appears. If the Buddha wanted, he would have made this Diamond Sutra start with this chapter. Subhuti appeared and asked the Buddha a question. But it starts with the Buddha doing this dung, 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 dung. So, all the monks saw this. And Subhuti saw this everyday life mind of the Buddha. How the Buddha did all these things without a trace, without a remainder, without any thinking, without any dajin in maom. Without any thinking about the past, the future, what do I have to do? Okay, when I'm done begging, I don't like this bowl. Well, this bowl's okay. I don't know. I did this yesterday. Food not so good. I don't know. I don't feel so good. Well, I have to teach. I hope they don't ask me any questions today. I'm just going to sit here. I'm the Buddha. I don't have to teach. Blah, 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 blah. Nothing. He saw that the Buddha was just like glass. Just like glass. This completely clear mind. Even in these activities. Even going to the city. Even begging. Even tired, even this food. What kind of food? Sometimes not so good. But the Buddha, do, do, do. So he saw, this is the correct life. This is the correct life. I want to follow this life. So this whole chapter, the second chapter, is Subhuti saying, sir, how can we live like you? How can we live this enlightened life? Yeah, Jesus said, you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? Become like a child again. But how do you do that? How do you do that? That's what Subhuti's asking. How? How do we live this childlike life? How do we live this empty life? How do we, every action, hanashik, 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 how do we do that without leaving a trace, without leaving a stain, some thinking, some remainder, some attachment. How do we do that? That's this second chapter. It's all about watching the Buddha. So, already the Diamond Sutra is finished. First chapter. The Buddha has already taught without speech. He taught through his everyday life, what is correct life. Subhuti says, can you now describe that? So, now, in the midst of the assembly was the venerable Subhuti. Forthwith he arose, uncovered his right shoulder. See, we have this kasa. This kasa should cover the right shoulder. When they were sitting to protect, this is not a decoration, this kasa. It's actually clothing. But to show respect, you uncover the right shoulder. It's a sign of respect. Kind of like in Asia, you know, 안녕하세요. 안녕하십니까. This kind of like this. It's all just a sign of respect. Why you do that? If someone just goes, yeah, 안녕하세요. You know, oh, arrogant. It's just a simple sign to show respect. Oh, it comes on the door. That kind of mind. So, forthwith, Subhuti arose. Now watch this. The Buddha is seated. Everybody is seated. Then Subhuti stands up, uncovers his right shoulder. That's this kasa. Uncovers the right shoulder. Knelt upon his right knee. That's more kind of hashim. This very humble mind. And respectfully raising his hands with palms joined in front of the Buddha. This shows no weapon. It's a sign. That's where this hapchang is very important. No weapon. Nothing hiding. Right shoulder is bare. There's no weapon. And addressed the Buddha. World-honored one. World-honored one. It is most precious and how mindful the Tathagata is of all the bodhisattvas, protecting and instructing them so well. World-honored one, if good men and good women seek the consummation of incomparable enlightenment, by what criteria should they abide and how should they control their thoughts? So very simple, he says. World-honored one, Buddha, world-honored one. It is most precious. And how mindful the Tathagata is of all the bodhisattvas. So Tathagata is yore. Yore. It means coming like this. Yore. Coming like this. Just like this. Manifested like this. So Tathagata means Buddha. But it also means our experience. Like this. The sound of the rain. That's yore. The feeling of this fan. Yore. This experience, my life, just like this. Appearing like this. See, we don't see how much our experience is already Buddha. It's already Buddha. When you hear the rain, that's Buddha. You feel the sweat on your arm, that's Buddha. You feel the wind or the air on your cheek, that's Buddha. This microphone cannot feel that. This microphone cannot hear the rain. But I feel that. That's Buddha. So, yore, how can we experience this? How can we have this geilinen maom that hears and sees and smells, and tastes, and touches, and feels. Just like, how can we do that? That's all he's asking. Very simple, this Diamond Sutra. It's not rocket science. This is not difficult. Subhuti's just saying, your everyday life, how can we live like that? World-honored one, if good men and good women seek the consummation of incomparable enlightenment, by what criteria should they abide, and how should they control their thoughts? So 2 points about this. He says, how do we get Anyutara Samyak Sambodhi? How do we get highest enlightenment, Buddha? How get that the way you have it? How get that? And very interesting about this, he says, good men and good women. How do we get that? Mind. But not just monks and nuns. Good men and good women. This is Mahayana Sutra. This is a Dhamma. So it's not just monks. How can all people get that mind? But very interesting, he says, by what criteria should they abide and how should they control their thoughts? A very Hinayana style talking. So Subhuti is still this kind of Hinayana style. How control your thoughts? How should we control our thoughts? How... I can do this, but I can't do that. How control my thoughts? There's a tightness, a little tightness here. So that will be interesting because the Buddha is going to completely break that in the sutra. How should we control our thoughts as if controlling our thoughts is the way? And the Buddha said, very good, Subhuti. Just as you say, the Tathagata is ever mindful of all the bodhisattvas, protecting and instructing them well. Now listen and take my words to heart. I will declare to you by what criteria good men and good women seeking Anyutara Samyak Sambodhi should abide and how they should control their thoughts. Said Subhuti, pray do, world-honored one, with joyful anticipation we long to hear. So, this second chapter is only, it's again, very simple. It's a student making a question and the teacher answering. The Buddha did not teach often. He did not open his mouth often. So, when Subhuti asks this question and the Buddha answers, we know the Buddha is about to give a very important teaching. Sometimes when the Buddha was asked the question, he just... Sometimes he taught like that. Just some action teaching. Just, that's yore. That's just like this. That's inin kodero jili. Just this gesture. Just some action. Sometimes he taught like that. This time, he's going to talk. That's the Diamond Sutra. So, Subhuti's very happy. Wow. This time, you'll give me a little speech. Pray, do. With joyful anticipation, we long to hear. Okay. Does anyone have any questions about that? No questions? Too simple, huh?